The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 371. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Adam Vale.
Hey, Tony.
And Brian Monjoma.
What up, what up, what up?
All right, we're back with another one, you already know, and another crazy week in gaming. Although nobody was bought, no acquisitions, none of that. So we got a little bit of a respite from all that, but news did come. But we promise you something, right? And we're going to deliver right here, right now, live, the Sony and Nintendo financials. And so I'm going to hand this show over to Chris right now, and we're going to look at the numbers, the facts. All right, man.
It's too bad we don't have
music. Like,
incoming L from the stock exchange.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
We
should have done it.
Fucking. We go to you, Chris.
Yeah. Then dudes jumping out of buildings and shit when they lose
the
money.
Please inform us of all the latest mumbling jumbo. Thank you.
All right, let's go over these financials, Chris. Hit us with them graphics.
Okay, is this working?
Here we go. Yes. All right, people, you're getting treated to the financial news.
So I'll start with the numbers here. And I guess I'll start with the Nintendo does theirs. They don't just do 3-month breakdowns, they do 9 months. So as the fiscal year progresses, Q1 is 3 months, and then they'll do Q2 will be a 6-month breakdown. Q3 is a 9-month breakdown. And then, of course, you have the full fiscal year, which we'll do on the show in April when they release it to the public. But so I had to look at this is a 9-month. I couldn't condense it, whereas Sony I can. Like, Sony gives you the quarter and they give you the 9 months, so that's nice that they do that, and I wish Nintendo did that, and they don't, so I don't have it. But anyway, Nintendo overall sales has been down, even though they've hit a milestone. The Switch has now topped Wii sales, so it's now, I think it's like the second highest. I think the DS is still king for them.
It's the cream of the crop. Oh, but, yeah.
But in terms of consoles,
the DS? Yes. Oh, man.
Yeah, I have to go back and find the total, the lifetime sales of the DS, but I think it was higher.
That's wild.
I don't know. Somebody can correct me. I don't want to give, allegedly. I'll say
yeah, allegedly. Let's say they say allegedly. Yeah. There we go.
Because I'm not sure. But, they, in their statement, let me go back here. Let me go to the breakdown. So they said over the 9 months, unit sales for the entire Nintendo Switch family declined 21.4% year on year, but it still sold 18.95 million units. So this, and they break it down, 11.79 units of Switch, 3.99 of the OLED, and 3.17 of the Lite. And they said software sales grew 1.8% year on year. And while that sounds good, it's still a loss, right? So in millions of US dollars, that's like about roughly a 5.4% drop in profit. And so it's like, well, you have to look at, you could say, oh, the Rona cut supply, so they sold less or and that. But they actually don't really blame the Rona for that. They blamed slowing sales in general. No. They said that that they had a gangbuster year the year before, Animal Crossing, and said Pokemon did well and whatever. But that's all fizzled out. And then that, to me, says that their year was lackluster because they didn't have the software to back up the hardware sales. Like, you can't just rely on, you can't lean on one or two titles, right? And it's like their holiday this year, again, this last holiday, was another Pokemon game. This time was the Diamond and Pearl remake. The Arceus Legends didn't come out till January 28th, which would barely impact this report. And they didn't have another title like Animal Crossing come out. And then, I mean, we'll talk about the direct later, but still their best selling game is Mario Kart. It's still a port of a Wii U game. So without that, and then people have still been waiting for Zelda news, which, spoiler alert, that didn't come with that direct either. So that is impacting their hardware sales. They don't have the software to really keep pushing it year over year. So they had a great year. I'll show you Metroid's sales numbers. Metroid broke the million sales, but not by much.
Metroid games aren't really big sellers like that, though, right? Like,
yeah. Especially like even the regular ones, like, I mean, not the regular ones, like the 2D ones, like, you know, second, what is it, the DS one that came out, the 3DS one that came out a couple of years ago?
Well, Samus Returns?
Samus Returns and Dread, they're kind of like one in the same, like in terms of general hype when it comes to, and you know, the Nintendo people don't even hype up Metroid like they hype up the other, like fucking Mario Kart.
Well, I will give it that. It made close to in that span of time, and it only came out when in September of last year. So it sold 2.74 million units, but it got topped by a lot of other stuff. But yeah, it did pretty good, and it cracked the million cycle. I was looking at this chart, and I was kind of shocked that like Link's Awakening's not on here, but yet somehow Big Brain Academy cracked this chart, and I was like, I don't even remember them advertising that game. I didn't even know it existed. And WarioWare cracked it, which I was shocked because WarioWare is more niche than anything. Like,
yeah.
You know, but it's 1.24 million. That's the lifetime so far because it only came out for a holiday. Game Builder Garage, I had no idea what that was, but it cracked a million. But the top seller you can see is Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Is lifetime 43.35 million units of that game. And then second behind it is Animal Crossing. It's 37.62 million units worldwide.
Absolutely insane.
You know, and it's like, you know, even Breath of the Wild is not close to that. It's like 12 million behind that, 25.88 million units lifetime, right? And you think, okay, Zelda and then Mario Odyssey is behind that at 23 million. So it's like, that's how powerful Animal Crossing was. That's why they had that gangbuster year. And I did that report for you, and that's pushed hardware. There were people literally buying a second Switch just to play Animal Crossing. Played out. Like, they were getting the exclusive, they released an exclusive Switch with branded with the stuff, right? They were buying the Switch just for this game. And there's plenty of people who just play, that's Nintendo's problem that has been since the Wii, people who just play one game.
Yeah.
There are people just in it to play Animal Crossing, and that is a problem that's affecting these numbers. So when I go back here and I show you that they have this dip, and they're saying, oh, well, we didn't have the strong software, but you're also, you're doing the same evergreen mistake you did last time. You're enticing people to just enter for one game, and they don't engage with anything else. They're not going on the eShop and going, well, what else can I buy? Well, maybe I'll try Pokemon, or maybe I'll try Mario, or Mario Rabbids, or Donkey Kong. No, they are done. They play their Animal Crossing, they're happy, and they're out, right? This is Wii Fit and all that stuff all over again. They're just in it for the one game. So that is a problem that's only going to be solved if you can keep your pipeline going. And I talked about this last year. I said, if you're not going to be consistent with releasing Mario and Zelda, your key titles, and keep a flow where it's like, okay, we have a Star Fox coming, we have a Metroid coming, we have Mario coming, which is always big, we have a Zelda coming, Breath of the Wild. They haven't dropped a trailer or news of Breath of the Wild 2 in over a year. So this Direct, which everybody was like, oh, they're going to talk about Zelda, and they didn't.
Of course, yeah.
It was a year ago that they talked about Skyward Sword, where Aonuma came out and said, oh, you think I'm going to talk about Breath of the Wild, but I'm actually going to talk about Skyward Sword. So it's like, what? So it's been over a year since he even had a fresh trailer or fresh news from Nintendo on that game. And I called it. I said that game is not going to come out to probably at best holiday this year, and we'll go for the direct. But I have to say, I did call that. They did not mention it at all, and people are pissed. You know. All right. So let me.
Yeah.
All right. I'm getting sidetracked.
I know that, but I just got to say this, and I'm gonna probably repeat this a couple times this episode. Nintendo fans are different. Nintendo fans are different.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, yeah, we'll get into that.
Yeah, continue, sir.
So, this is... I'll move on to Sony now. There's not much else to say about Nintendo's issues. Those issues are going to continue. When I do their fiscal year report, you're going to see a downturn, right? Year over year, you're going to see a downturn. And I'll just say it's because they had strong software the year before and nothing the year after. They were still leaning on Pokemon for the holiday. They still did it. They don't have Zelda ready. I'm pretty sure they wanted it ready. And for whatever reason, you could say Rona or whatever, they don't have it. They're not going to have it probably till holiday this year. So that's going to be tough for them. And going into this next fiscal year, which starts April 1st, I'm getting ahead of myself. If they are relying on their holiday this year, that means the first two quarters of this year are going to be abysmal for them. Until they put out a heavy for the holiday, right? Yeah. So that, you know, and that is what it is. So with PlayStation, though, while their 9-month year over year was actually better, unfortunately their operating profit was down because they put more marketing behind stuff, but they had lower hardware sales and lower software sales overall to make up for it. So I'll just go into there and where I there.
Just double checking to make sure none of those tabs are Twitch girls deep throating stuff.
This is all business. So, So just looking at the 3 months year over year, you can see I broke it down by segment. I usually do this to show all Sony as an entire company and just show you like the pie that's like, okay, what brings in the revenue for Sony, right? So if you look at, and I labeled these charts the Q3 right there, but it does on top. So Q3 2020, PlayStation accounted for about, adjusted for inflation, 32% of the overall company revenue. So it was the main revenue generator for the company, right? And then close behind it was electronic products. So that's the TVs and their circuits and everything is all wrapped up in there. And then, you know, pictures, music, imaging, all that stuff. And their financial services, which is just a Japanese-only thing, accounts. It's actually big business. If you look at this, the year before, it's 15.3%. That's almost their music and pictures segment added.
What
up.
Is the financial services that they do?
Basically, like what TD Waterhouse or another company would do here.
Interesting.
Retirement, investments, things like that.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, okay. They provide that service, but it's only in Japan. with this this year, there was a shift, right? So PlayStation had a downturn. They had lower than expected hardware sales, and actually, they lowered their projections for overall hardware sales for the fiscal year. So expect that downturn. They said they had lower than expected software sales as well on first party and non first party titles. So PlayStation took a hit in profits, and you see it's about an 8% difference if you convert it to US dollars. What if you notice something interesting, and I'll just highlight Sony Pictures. Sony Pictures had 140.96% increase in profit.
I wonder why.
Yeah, I don't know. Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
That shit.
Chris, you could even say that jump was radioactive.
I mean, that is insanely impressive. So I'll just go. They break this down here. So like I said, sales, they said decreasing sales of hardware and peripheral devices. Decrease in sales of non-first-party titles, including add-on content, and decrease in sales for first-party titles. So like I said, they had overhaul hit on software and hardware, right? And their operating income, of course, was impacted by the same thing. With you go down to pictures, though, and singularly increase in theatrical revenue primarily due to the contribution of Spider-Man No Way Home and Venom.
Venom actually did very, very well. Yeah, that's right.
So they also said, Higher sales of this is interesting. Higher sales of television productions due to the licensing of Seinfeld.
Interesting.
And higher sales for media networks resulting from the Crunchyroll acquisition.
Oh, wow.
So that actually made them a good amount of money. And they did something with Game Show Network. I didn't even know they owned that. But they transferred it or they sold. I don't know what they did, but that earned them a bunch of money. But that's always interesting. I always point out, like, I'm always like, yeah, Sony Pictures is always lagging behind. Well, they exploded.
Yeah.
This last quarter. So this I just do a breakdown of hardware profits. You can see here what is this in millions of US dollars. Their profits kind of dropped about 22% if you convert it to US dollars. Software just had a slight jump of 0.12%. They did have an increase in network services though. So PSN had an increase in revenue and signups, so that was pretty much good. But the projection for the future, the near future, is they're still going to have a hard time getting product out, and so they predict a loss in revenue from hardware sales. Now, the software side, that's going to change because the generation's actually going to start this year. We get some next-gen titles, so hopefully that will improve their software sales and offset.
Well, wait, hold on. Do we have some next-gen titles coming this year?
I thought we did. We don't?
I mean, Horizon Zero Dawn's on PS4, God of War's on PS4. So, you don't really count those.
Is there any third-party hope?
Not that I know of. If you guys in the chat can tell us, please let us know. But as far as I know, most games are cross-gen this year, man.
All right. Well, they'll have to hope that even though those are on PS4 and PS5, they still count for the net sales.
Well, yeah, so you notice it said PlayStation. It doesn't say PS4 or PS5. It says PlayStation.
Yeah.
And Chris, I'm wondering if that's also the reason why they're like, let's just pump out more PS4s because it all goes to the same place, you know?
Yeah. they have done that. And I guess it's easier for them to put out PS4 product because the fabs and all this stuff is easier to fabricate than PS5. So they can get more into market and they offer it at a lower price. Basically they can produce it like at no loss, like they actually make profit. So that's why they do that. And then it doesn't matter. It's like, okay, if you buy it on PS4, then what do they care? Right. You play God of War, Ragnarok or Horizon. It's the same money to them. And you have the PSN signups, right? And that's what you want. You want people on board. And the thing is, like, people are going to be stuck with this kind of stringent lack of hardware for the foreseeable future. There's just not enough resources to go around. And Tony, you sent that thing out, like the wafer. One of the main suppliers of silicon wafer said they're sold out to like 2026, which is insane.
It's fucking nuts.
So in the near future, there's just not enough. Like everybody needs the silicon. And, you know, and the fabs to produce chips. And it's not just for game systems. It's PCs, NVIDIA cards, and for automobiles. So there's a ton of auto manufacturers that have supply issues because they can't get boards in the cars. And if you read, like, Jeep and Chrysler and Toyota and all these guys had to shut down some production because they just don't have enough boards. You can manufacture a car. If you don't have a computer in it, it's worthless. So, so that's going to be with us for a while. I don't know when that will be resolved.
Man, they need to start cranking out some old school cars with the roll down windows and shit.
Build some classic cars.
That's wild.
Yeah, so this is a small snapshot, and I'll do the fiscal year report in April for both companies. And I apologize, I don't have Microsoft's report because I don't have time to decipher their insanely huge report and just get the one paragraph where they talk about Xbox in like a 40-page financial. So I'll just save it for the big one.
You don't talk about Xbox because you're a bunch of ponies.
But I talked about Nintendo. What are you talking about? Yes, come on. But anyway, both of them are down, right? And Nintendo's reasoning is more as like software is not pushing hardware, and Sony's reason is they don't have enough hardware, so they're getting impacted by lack of sales, and they have a lack of software, so their software sales are decreasing. So that's a two-pronged problem that they have to solve.
Damn. We're not really going to see the end of this stuff for a while. It's going to be interesting to see what, like, if sales keep going. And like we talked about, was it last week? Remember, for a long time, the PS5 was the fastest selling PlayStation, right? Best selling PlayStation, you know, at the for the same amount of time. That ain't the case anymore. Things have slowed down. And like you said, you know, Sony lowered their projections. So, and yeah, that's just going to be just the way of it for the foreseeable future, unfortunately. Damn the and then Nintendo, you know, I mean, they're going to try to spin it however they're going to spin it. But it's like, you guys are stuck in the same rut too. But the thing is, they're even a worse position because, like you said, there's no games right now. You know, they need something.
Yeah.
But again, what are they going to do? They're going to just, I think they're just going to like kind of coast through this entire year and then rely on something big at the end of the year, you know, and then talk about how successful everything was.
Right.
They have such a back catalog just from the NES, Super NES, then just focus on that and start pumping them out every month. At least they'll get money in subs if they were doing that. But they don't even do that shit.
Yeah.
You know, no, they sprinkle out whenever Nintendo they feel like it.
Yeah, Nintendo never makes sense.
It's bullshit. So if you know games on one end, but you have this back catalog for the older ones, it's like, you know what? Let's come up with a new packaging, a new marketing strategy, and say, hey, every 2 weeks, we're going to have some game. Boop, 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 boop. Sign up. They're not even.
Yeah, no, all they do is port shit from the Wii U, you know? But
So, go ahead. That's pretty much it. I mean, yes, they could have a smarter strategy for Nintendo Switch, but they don't. They really don't. And that's the thing. It's like they're saying, oh, Nintendo Switch Online is doing well. I'm like, is it? Like, you put out two games maybe every so often on there. One maybe somebody wants to play. Like, they were like, oh, we got Earthbound now. It's like, yay, okay. Is that worth the price of admission? You know, when you could pull it at any time and switch the library around? Like, ah.
Yeah, I don't know. Nintendo fans, man. All right. Anybody have any questions about the financial news? Any insights you guys want to share?
Not, man. You know, just looking into all of this, like, whenever you're negative, you have a negative net year over year, it's pretty bad for any company.
Yeah.
You know, usually companies are supposed to grow. So it's just, it sucks. But I mean, in terms of the Switch, you know, we'll talk about it when we discuss the Direct, because I'm going to put in a lot of my thoughts about Nintendo there. But it's, you know, they're the complacent console.
I'm guessing your statements will be controversial.
Yes, they'll definitely be very controversial. I will say that.
Oh, man. All right, man. Let's move on. Chris, as always, thanks for that. That was awesome.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
All right. Let us move on to some news. So we are still, you know, reeling from the effects of all these acquisitions, right? Sony buying Bungie, Microsoft buying Activision, all that. Now this week it has come out because it was a little bit up in the air. Like, is Microsoft going to keep Call of Duty as an exclusive? Because, you know, we saw with Bethesda, they're locking all that shit down, right? But there was questions about Call of Duty. I said it would be stupid of them to, you know, not lock it down. Like, I think they should lock it down. I maintain that. But it seems that they're not going to do that. They're going to keep it open. Microsoft will keep Call of Duty on PlayStation.
You got to, let's read between the lines of what Uncle Phil said, though.
Yeah.
He said the best experience of a Call of Duty is going to be on Xbox.
Of course. You know,
that means, that's telling me that they're going to have another franchise. They already have four Call of Duty, different franchises. You got the Black Ops, you got the Warzone, you have the Standard Edition. So I have a feeling they're going to make a whole other series that's just going to be available on it. So we'll get Call of Duty something else, some other name. Like, we had the Modern Warfare and then Vanguard, if they wanted to keep going in that direction with these side stories. But it's going to be another one, and I have a feeling that series is going to be the one that's just on Xbox. All the other ones will probably sprinkle onto the, you know, the other platforms. But the fact that he said that, it's like, oh, this is going to be a better experience on the Xbox. It's not just going to be that's easy. Say, oh yeah, get season battle passes and all that. That's going to be on Xbox day one.
See, first, that's another one. Yeah. No, that's interesting easy. Because I took it. Here's the thing. He never said anything about easy. That's
I'm saying it's easy.
Yeah, no, okay, I got you. No, I was going to say that. You said it for me, so thank you for saying that. No, my thing is, the way I took that statement is like, it's the best experience because it's going to effectively be free on Game Pass. And you know, I mean, Adam, you don't you say no, but that DLC is going to be first on Game Pass. I guarantee you that. 3 months exclusive.
No. I said that's, you know, too easy.
No, it is easy, and that means exactly that's what they're going to do.
It's going to be there, but that's not enough.
No, but it actually is enough. Think about it. Here's the thing. But you know corporate speak, right? Best experience could literally just be, hey, they get the game for free and it's 15, and they get the DLC. That could be all they need to technically say it's a better experience. So I don't think you're going to make a single Call of Duty, because it doesn't make any sense to make a Call of Duty. Yeah.
We talked about it before. The whole goal is to try to lure these players back that left, the pro gamers that left. Saying that it's still going to be available on PlayStation doesn't lure them back. They're like, oh, well, I'll just stay where I'm at.
No, some people are going to be like...
you offer another Call of Duty that's not available, that's brand new. So no one can bitch. They can't say, well, I've been playing this for like 4 years. No, you haven't. This is a new series, a new franchise, part of the universe of Call of Duty. This is all new, and it's only available on Xbox.
I mean, well, I guess we'll agree to disagree. I don't think that's going to happen at all.
Wait, what are you guys disagreeing?
Adam thinks that they're going to have an exclusive Call of Duty game on Xbox. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that, you know, and this is my take on it. And I was, because initially when this came out, I was confused. I'm like, what? Like, how do you spend $17 billion just to play nice, right? And then I was like, oh, wait, that's exactly what they want to do. So I basically think this is all optics, right? Obviously, you know, money usually is what motivates things. But I think in this case, with all that heat that's coming down from them from the FTC, potentially, they'll be like, all right, let's just say Call of Duty's thing on PlayStation, get these motherfuckers off our back. That's what I think is going on, you know? It just seems very clear that Microsoft wants to project that image. Like, oh, no, we're not the bad guy. We're not trying to stop monopolizing shit. They're keeping Call of Duty. We're good. Stay the fuck away from us, Uncle Sam, you know? So that's what I think is happening right here. Because otherwise, it doesn't make any sense. I'm like, dude, this is the perfect opportunity to bolster Game Pass, right? So I'm like, why else would you squander it if it wasn't for the fact that you got, you know, again, Uncle Sam at your back, you know? So, Chris, what's your take on this?
Well, no, I agree with that. It's, you know, it's you have to have give and take, especially now that the FTC is involved, right? So you're already, Microsoft already decided, hey, Starfield exclusive to Xbox. And they can cherry pick whatever they want from Bethesda exclusive to Xbox, right? But you have to make the calculus like, oh, all right, Activision had all these deals. They have contracts that we have to honor and stuff. So it's like, okay, we'll give everyone Call of Duty. That'll be like Minecraft. It's just, there you go. You know, we'll just keep, Warzone? We'll keep updating it, and it's for everybody and whatever, and that. But Activision has a ton of other titles which they could keep exclusive. So that's a gimme. It looks good, right? Optically, it looks very good. Yeah, to the FTC, it looks good and whatever. That, so it kind of throws them off. Like, but they could do, like, in a year, they could decide, oh, you know what? We're going to, that StarCraft Ghost, we're going to make it exclusive to Xbox, whatever. Yeah. You know, anything new is off, could be off the table for everyone else, but Xbox, what is it? Windows exclusive, right? It's just that. You hear that deep voice.
Yeah. No, I was just thinking about something we said on the last show. It's like, it just seems like one of the kids of a member of the FTC was like, Dad, they're going to take Call of Duty away from me. Like, oh, word? Okay, we're going to find out what's going on. But now they can be like, okay, it's okay, son. You get to keep Call of Duty on PlayStation, you know? And the FTC backs off, you know?
I just feel that this whole thing, you know, they bought Activision, they see how much money it makes, and they know how consistent they are with making that money. It's like, it's all about the status quo with Call of Duty, with the Activision games, with the Blizzard games, that is. And, you know, making it exclusive takes some balls. Yeah. You know, be like,
go home.
Imagine Phil Spencer telling everyone, all of these PlayStation people who are, I think we talked about it last time, it's the majority of the Call of Duty players are either, I think, on PlayStation when it comes to consoles. Imagine telling those millions of people that they're not going to be able to play the new Call of Duty. It's going to provide big backlash.
You think if Sony was the one that bought Activision, they would have done it?
They would now, because they're keeping Bungie multi-plat, you know? My answer would have been different last month, you know? But now Sony's like, oh, no, you guys get to keep it. We're cool.
Yeah, I'm with Tony on that one, because I would have thought that they would have made it exclusive, but with the Bungie stuff, it's like, they're doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So they're they don't want that PR hit, and they don't want that PR hit to cut away at the bottom line, at the status quo of what they do. In my opinion, if I was Phil Spencer, I would make everything exclusive. Just hamstring the industry and make Game Pass the elite platform to play everything. That's how you're the boss. You know, that's how you take care
that's
of
business. That's how you're the Don, you know?
That's how you're the Don. That's how you become a super villain, you can't refuse.
You know?
Well, they did it with the Bethesda stuff. But with the Bethesda stuff, people don't care nearly as much as they do with the other stuff.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm pretty sure that the Call of Duty audience on PlayStation alone is bigger than the whole Bethesda catalog combined.
You're probably right about that, you know? By the way, just injecting real quick, Carlos, I 100% agree. If I was Phil Spencer, I'd be like, no, you playing out of my house, you know?
On my TV?
On my platform? You know?
On my cloud?
But anyway, continue. But yeah, I agree 100%. If I was Phil Spencer, I'd be like, all right, bro, we're doing this my way, my house, you know?
It's like, It just makes sense because you have such a freaking juggernaut. You have the biggest megaton bomb in the planet, and you're not going to use it. And it's just a hypothetical. You're not going to hurt anyone really, but you know,
like I said, there's a calculus too to this. Like, so you could do that, right? You could just string everyone and say, hey, every single freaking IP that we just acquired is exclusive to Xbox going down the road, right, to the future. So there's a gain with that, but there's a potential loss. You could put off some people. You could, the FTC could kind of rule against you if they see it's like, oh, wait a minute, this doesn't look good. And then, you know, you could have lawsuits. You could have potential breach of contract lawsuits and things like that. So I think the smarter move is what he's doing, because you can leverage that against, hey, if you want to keep getting Call of Duty, like, I would be like talking to Sony, and then it's like, but you know, when it comes to Bungie or whoever else you acquire, hey, we expect a reciprocation that you make sure you're keeping things multi-platform, right? So because they have acquired so much that you can dole out a little bit to everyone and say like, hey, but we want to keep the reciprocation, so Sony has to keep, you know, Destiny or whatever else Bungie makes, you got to make sure it's like multi-platform and it's shared among everyone and whatever. So there's that too, which can actually in the long term, increase profits. Whereas if you do just exclusivity across the board, you'll have a short-term gain, right? But you may put off some people, so you lose potential revenue. It's like, oh, people are like, ah, fuck Microsoft, and they just leave, right? Or they just stay with Sony. They just pick their platform and they're like, oh, I'll play something else. Or Sony makes like a something that can compete, or maybe they work with EA, or EA collapses and they auction off Battlefield, and Sony takes Battlefield and actually makes it worthwhile, you know. So you have to think about that.
Or you know, PlayStation players, you know, get start playing PlayStation All Stars and then realize how shitty their first party multiplayer games are, and then just like, fuck it, get in an Xbox, $200. But you know, all those are valid points. I just think that Microsoft there's only one scenario in when they do the Switch, no pun intended. Once Call of Duty has the highest, you know, user base on an Xbox platform or a Game Pass platform, that's when they're gonna feel like they're, you know, confident enough to just make it exclusive. Because right now, most of the crowd is in the PlayStation side. Yeah. So you're just going to alienate a whole bunch of people and hope that they make the plunge and switch to the other side. But, you know, it's much easier when most of the crowd is already on your side. So yeah. I feel like whenever that happens, that's when they feel compelled to move it exclusivity to just the Xbox platform.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Yeah, once the majority of the players is on Xbox, they're like, exclusive time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It'd be very interesting.
It might not even take long, you know. Game Pass, you know, having Call of Duty on Game Pass day one without having any extra fees and maybe the DLCs, that is huge.
Does anybody know how the MLB The Show did? Because remember, that was a big deal because that was exclusive for a long time to Sony.
It's funny you bring that up.
That's
a good question. No, it's funny you bring that up because I was talking to a friend. They were hyped for, you know, MLB, right? Like, yeah, I'm gonna get on PlayStation. I'm like, you know, it's on Game Pass, right? They're like, You know, they made him think. You think that's not going to happen with Call of Duty?
Well,
you
the
know?
Last one was on. That's what I'm saying. Well, that guy was out of the loop because the last one was also on Game Pass.
Yeah, yeah. But so that's the point. People are going to hesitate and be like, wait a minute.
That's interesting because I didn't hear anything because I was curious to find out when that did come out if that was going to be a big jump of people to say, well, you know, I just going to get an Xbox or I'll play it on my PC or whatever to play it through Game Pass. But I didn't hear much of that. And that's the only MLB game in town licensed.
Yeah. It's worth investigating, you know, yeah. Just to see what.
Just think about it. Just think about it next year. You know, what's going to happen? Adam, what big thing is going on this weekend? What big event?
A big event.
Sports.
Sports.
Sports ball.
The Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl.
Oh, that's happening?
The Super Bowl is this weekend.
Carlos, you're asking the wrong crowd, man.
I said Adam.
Adam doesn't watch American football.
Manny knew the Super Bowl was this weekend.
Yeah, I know.
No fucking
idea. I know that's because of Buddy.
Or I should say, you asked the wrong. Yeah, I guess you asked the wrong guy. He watches football. That's what he watches.
I asked.
Who's in this one? Who made it?
Well, yeah, the Rams and the Bengals. The Rams and the Bengals. But anyways, the point is.
Didn't you see Carlos in the spaces talking about that?
Yo, man, join the spaces, man.
You know,
just imagine the next Super Bowl. It's like Call of Duty. It could be a Call of Duty commercial. Who do you think is gonna be at the end of the commercial?
Know. You're gonna see. Vroom, you know that Xbox logo. You already know
that effect is huge, man.
Carlos, you fucked me up right now.
Oh.
Okay, and Manny, remember we were. This happened so many times at GameStop, man. Go to GameStop. Oh man, I wish Call of Duty was on PlayStation. It is on PlayStation. Motherfuckers thought it was on Xbox on the 360 days, right? Because you know that's gonna happen. Dude's gonna be watching the Super Bowl. Oh shit! It's only on Xbox. Excuse me. Get an Xbox. You know. Oh, like oh fuck! I can't find an Xbox. It's okay, man. Game Pass. You know. Oh, it'll be big. You know, or even better, it's like, oh shit, it's only a Series X. No, you can play it. You can play the best version of the game on your Xbox One through streaming, and it's gonna be butter. I'm telling you, man, this is another reason why it should have been exclusive. You know, but I digress. But no, you're right. Think about it, Super Bowl, and you know that's gonna happen, right? Advertise that shit. Xbox logo, motherfuckers, and I think it's the Xbox exclusive because it always happens.
For a Call of Duty, they have to announce a new one though. They haven't announced.
No, we're talking about next. Super Bowl, not this year's, not the next year's Super Bowl. You already know when this deal gets finalized. It is next year, right? That when it gets finalized.
I think it's
this year.
I don't know. No, 2023 sometime.
Next year, yeah.
Fiscal year 2023?
Yeah, but yeah,
or 2022 or something like that.
But yeah, I didn't even think about the year. Right, is everything Call of Duty related? Xbox. People are gonna think it's an exclusive. So there you go.
I'm just waiting for the day where there's a Super Bowl commercial of Heroes of the Storm.
You know.
And it has a remake of that song.
Do you think they're going to keep the Activision?
Yeah, they will because it has, you know, legacy and all that. They're not getting rid of Bethesda, you know.
But it doesn't have the stink right now that Activision has.
I'm just
wondering if they'll just sort of keep it lower in the corner. It's like a nice Microsoft logo with the
Switch. Oh, yeah. It could be right there. It'll still be there, just, you know, kind of down there, you know. Got to put on glasses and shit. CEOs. Yeah. So, yeah, pretty interesting stuff. They in the report, they said they basically want Call of Duty to be like Minecraft, like just everywhere. I found that statement very interesting. But, yeah, we'll see. Any last thoughts on this? Go ahead.
Matt Hoffman.
Yeah, Manny, go ahead.
No, I mean, you know, I agree with the sentiments that have been said before where, you know, if I were Microsoft, I would lock it down. But, you know, if they want to have their cake and eat it, you know, so be it.
Yeah. By the way, you guys are also watching Throwdown Draws as we do this episode, you know.
Yes.
Manny's making the featured image. Yeah.
This is the featured image.
Manny, you basically said, I agree with everything that has been said tonight.
Exactly, but I said it the Manny way.
Yeah, that is true. Shout out to Richard Bailey Jr., man. Oh, all right.
Right, Richard Bailey Jr.
Yes. Oh, yes. All right. Anything else on this?
Right,
Adam's looking. Oh, no. Should we keep it going, Adam?
I was just looking up reports about the show.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks like it was like $4 million units were sold, and they said 2 million at least have been confirmed for the PlayStation, so they could just assume that the rest were coming from Game Pass.
Interesting.
You know, but they were just going based off of the but player.
Damn, base. Half. That's a lot. Yeah. You know?
That is a lot.
Check out how much the last game sold, if that's possible.
Let's see. What's, MLB The Show, was it 20?
20, yeah. All right, while you do that, we'll move on to the other big topic of the week, the Nintendo Direct. Another Nintendo Direct. And as always, what happens with all these Nintendo Directs, Nintendo fans get all hyped up. They go crazy on Twitter. And I'm just there going, what are we getting hyped for? It's like, whatever. But we're going to run down all the announcements. I'm reading, again, I always have to say, because I didn't watch this thing myself. I was working. It was the day the new Galaxy line got announced. I was very fucking busy, you know? Mm. So I'm reading this off of Polygon. So if I don't discuss something, it's because of them. They didn't list it. So blame them, not me. I'm just the messenger, all right?
Yo, man, don't shoot the messenger.
All right, so let's go down the line here. I'm just rattling these off as they're listed here. Xenoblade Chronicles 3 coming in September.
Okay.
All right. Do we have any strong feelings about this? Actually, Carlos, should we show the trailers or not?
Well, I'm multitasking right
okay,
now.
Okay, never mind. Don't worry about it then.
It's funny because they closed the show with that. And I know Kristen was watching it, and I'm like, there's no Zelda here. Yeah. Don't worry about it. I didn't know it was going to be Xenoblade, but I was positive. I was like, they're not going to show anything Zelda. And then they closed the show with this. And I'm like, that's good for Xenoblade people. And if you're an RPG fan, that's a good game. But for all the Zelda people, like, they were just like press fallen after the show.
Yeah. We'll get to that. What happened?
Cope streams.
Cope streams. Yo, their hope streams turned into Cope streams because these guys were sitting there watching this shit. They're like, oh, they're gonna close the show with Zelda. They're gonna talk. Oh, here it comes, and there was Xenoblade. Yo, these dudes were like, I should rethink my life. I should start reviewing other games.
The crazy thing is, it's been announced like multiple times, so I wonder why it ended the show like that.
Hope streams become cope streams. I like that line. Hip hop gamer needs to have that line in a rap. All right. What's up? I gotta blow my nose.
I'm so looking for numbers. I can't find numbers, but according to all the reports, MLB The Show 20 was the fastest and the best selling of the series. Right, and it was on PlayStation, and mainly because the baseball season was put on hold due to the
COVID. Oh, yeah, it did big that, yeah, because of the
rolling. So it did huge, they said. A lot of people bought it.
Huge.
I can't find any numbers, but it's like, this is from, MPD Groups.
Yeah, no, I remember we did discuss that on the show, too.
Yeah, they said the sales were big for it, but can't seem to find numbers.
All right, moving on to more Nintendo. Splatoon 3, okay.
Nope. Yeah, not a huge Splatoon
fan. It's got co-op. That's the one good thing. I mean, my kids play it, and they were pissed that with at least Splatoon 2 and 1 also, you can't have local co-op. So this one's now going to support local co-op. That's the only plus side that I saw.
Yeah. This one got the most attention, at least from my timeline. I'm like, why? Wii Sports sequel.
Oh, God.
It's basically Wii Sports all over again. It's just called Nintendo Switch Sports.
So is it going to have the motion controls?
Yeah, they showed it too. Wow. They showed them with the Joy-Cons doing bowling, doing the volleyball. Even, what's his name? The current president and Koizumi did a whole volleyball skit.
Isn't that was like 20 years ago. We're still doing this shit?
They're still doing it. Wow. Full motion controls and everything, just like the old days. And here's the thing. I talked about before in the report, like, don't lean on this. Even if you bring in people and you do hardware sales, like, you're going to get people buying it just for this game. You're not going to get an attachment after it where they go, oh, now I'm going to try Zelda, or I'm going to try Pokemon. No, people will just buy for that. You're going to just get, oh, okay. You get casuals and they'll just play that and that's it.
Yeah.
Right? So you boost your hardware sales, but they're not engaged. They're not going to buy anything else.
No, exactly. So that's a problem right there. Next up, we got Mario. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just wondering, what if they get slick about it and they add DLCs for more games to play? So it's like you buy the game and it's like, hey, do you want to play racquetball or something? You know, it's like, I'll pay $10 for this and download it. I mean,
they could do that, but that, if you're interested in that, because I'm sure the core games is enough for most people, right? Like, even if you add racquetball and darts and all that stuff and you make it paid DLC. Okay, so you're getting, like, chump change when you want people engaged in your software. You want them buying the next Mario and Zelda or Metroid or Donkey Kong or whatever. They're not going to do that.
Yeah. All right, next up here we have Mario Strikers, a baseball game, it looks like.
No, it's soccer.
Oh, soccer. All right. Yeah. Again, that shows you how much I know about this shit or care, I should say.
Well, it came out.
It was GameCube. Yeah, it's GameCube.
Wow. Yeah.
So I'm kind of shocked by that one that they actually
They also canceled that game because they there was a lot of pushback from Nintendo because the people who were making it didn't make the characters look the way they were supposed to, as I remember years ago.
Yeah, probably because they were following the style of Strikers was very different from the standard style, you know, and that's why it was well liked, because it was a little different. They were kind of sketchy and whatever. They kind of put that in this game, but only when they do their like super move.
Yeah.
And it's like, eh.
Yeah. All right. So we have that. No Man's Sky coming to. Is this going to be a streamed game or is it like native?
I don't recall it being streamed.
Because I'm like, how the hell do you fit a game like that on Switch, you know?
Was it big, like, graphic-wise? Like, when it comes to the size, it didn't look like
I don't know. Intense. It just seemed like the size of the world. But, I mean, it's procedure generated, so...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Using acid.
So, yeah, I guess if you need to play No Man's Sky on the go, there you have it. Next up, we have Fire Emblem Warriors. How many of these fucking games do they make?
Like, Fire Emblem?
Yeah, like it seems like they make like two games a year or something, you know?
Yeah, there's like the mainline games, and then they get Koei to make these Dynasty Warrior.
Oh, is that what it is?
Duplicates. Yeah, so they'll have like three houses or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like the mainline Fire Emblem, and then they do this, right?
So what's this thing? Three Hopes.
This is Dynasty Warriors. Oh, that's okay. All it is. All
right. Yeah. I guess Fire Emblem Warriors tells you right there. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah.
Put warriors or, you know, dinosaur warriors on there. And
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. All right. So there's that. Advance Wars 1 and 2 Reboot Camp.
That's fine. That's probably one of the things that actually got me decently excited. But then again, I mean, we've already saw this last year when it got announced. So it's more like just...
Yeah, that wasn't a surprise. But, it's cool. Like, people get to play those games. They were good.
Yeah. Kirby and the Forgotten Land. Speaking about deep throating. Right, he this thing called mouthful mode where he just swallows everything. So what is it? Just reading this, Kirby's newest 3D platforming adventure. All right, so.
Yeah, it's just a Kirby platforming game. Similar to like sort of like a Mario game. It's just Kirby has its own unique sort of skill sets and stuff. It looks pretty cool. I've never
played a Kirby game, by the way. Never played those games, so I have no idea. So I'm glad you explained that. I'm like, I don't even know what these fucking games are. By the way, shout out to Big Daddy X for the 145 bits. I know they were like on Game Boy and Nintendo and were super. I just never played them.
Sort of missed the boat at that point.
It's not that I didn't want to play them. It's just, I just never got around to it, you know?
You're like, man, this looks stupid.
Yeah, no, it wasn't that. It just like, whatever, you know?
The only thing I know from it is that it was named after the lawyer, remember? From the console wars.
Or Kirby?
But that's Kirby is the name of the attorney who helped them win the Donkey Kong case.
Oh, shit, that's funny.
And so they named a character after him. He's still alive, and he talked about it. He's like, that's cool. I'm in a game.
Yeah. All right, so there's that. Portal and Portal 2 ported to Switch. Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I love Portal as much as, like a lot of people love it, but man, like this is, people got excited about this and I'm like, oh man.
Portal's like, dope, don't get me wrong, but it's like, yo, we played this shit like 10 years ago.
Yeah, like 15 years
puzzles,
ago.
And it's puzzles, and they don't change. So if you know how to solve the puzzles, that's it. You're just going to fly through it.
Well, it's like this game, Portal has been out for more than 2007, the first one came out.
Yeah, so it's 15 years.
Yeah.
It's over 15 years. People who haven't played this game, if they haven't played this game already, it's like they probably wouldn't play it now.
Yeah.
So,
Or they're Nintendo fans that don't play anything else,
Just the ability to have it on the go. Just say they have it. That type of thing.
Yeah.
Like Crysis for me. Like, why would you want to play that in this form? But, hey, fuck it.
Yeah, well, why would you want to play this form when you can play it on the Steam Deck?
You know?
Mm-hmm. It's been on Steam since day one.
That's true. Next up, Mario Kart 8 is the biggest selling game, right, Chris, according to that report?
It is over 43 million
amazing lifetime. Yeah, so yeah, right here, the biggest selling game on Nintendo Switch is getting DLC through 2023. Somebody made a joke. It's like, can we officially consider this a live service game at this point?
I mean, you can consider even Smash Brothers a live service.
Yeah.
Smash Brothers, Animal Crossing, all of those. They're live service games, essentially. And, man, this is the one that got me heated, man.
Oh.
It's a freaking Wii U game. People just seeing and this is the kind of thing that, you know, where I feel disconnected with the core fan base, because I watched and I made sure I watched several reactions. Everyone was freaking hyped that I saw about this. And I'm like, why aren't people pissed? It's fucking, they were expecting the new iteration of the game, Mario Kart 9, and they got a DLC for a Wii U port. Why aren't people more pissed off about it?
Because Nintendo fans just lap this stuff up, man. That's why.
This is, you know, this is the big news. And also, by the way, I also got to mention that this game is also being advertised as, you know, being available, or at least the maps, the 40 maps, are being available for free on the subscription services. And I'm like, and I even tweeted, I'm like, yeah, Microsoft paid $70 billion to get Activision and Bethesda in their live services. Nintendo gets DLC maps for a Wii U game. It's ridiculous, man. It's like they're memeing themselves by doing this. And the fucking fan base is just eating eating it up.
They love it.
Oh, man.
Nintendo fans are different.
They don't fucking they don't care about innovating. No, they don't care about doing something new, at least adding one number to the title.
Well, Carlos, this is why they lost that investment. What's her name? Remember we talked about this?
Yeah.
They don't innovate, and that's why they lost a ton of investment money. That's why their stock fell.
That's true. And
I brought this up a long time ago. I said that they were going to release some DLC, and they did it. It took a while, but that was one of the things they brought up in their report. They were like, a lot of people have this game. Why make a new one? Just keep building on it. That's what they're going to do.
80% of this conference was ports and DLC for games. It's fucking ridiculous, man. I don't know,
but you see Twitter though. Oh my God, this is the most hyped thing ever. I am not exaggerating. You saw the things I was sending to you guys that day. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with these people? You know,
this is the best Nintendo conference I've ever seen. It's wow, man.
Oh, it's all the old maps from the previous one.
You know who I blame for this? Ravi Drums.
Yeah,
he set the bar so fucking low that these Nintendo fans fucking beg for any type of positive news, that whenever they get a freaking DLC announcement, they fucking orgasm. It's fucking ridiculous, man.
It's insane.
This is, you know, and I hope, like, you know, people who are Nintendo fans and, you know, they might be upset, you know, with me going after the company. It's like,
keep it real.
I've had every mainline Nintendo console since they started. I was born with a freaking NES. I have a Switch right now, and it's like, it sucks seeing a company that just does the least amount of effort to, you know, to entice their fan base and to entice other fan bases, because, you know, they're not getting third parties the way they used to. They're not, you know, they're not getting all the rare games that, you know, they used to have the catalogs and Final Fantasies in the early days. They're just, you know, getting ports. And, you know, salvaging there. And the fan base is eating it up, man.
And that's why Nintendo does it, because they know the fans don't ask for much. As long as they get their member berries, that's it. They're good.
That's,
you know?
That's all they fucking
remember,
want, man.
Remember when they came out? Remember that?
Like, that's all it is member berries, you know?
It's the member berry show.
Look at this shit. This Nintendo Direct feels like an E3 keynote from 1999 in a good way. What?
What?
The fuck are they talking about, you know? Here's another one. sometimes you just know a Nintendo Direct is 10 out of 10. This one is already it for me, and we're only 15 minutes in.
It's it. Oh my God. It's over. They won the console war.
They won.
The-
these people have not. I guarantee you, most of these people have never played an SNES when it came out. Like compare the freaking SNES and all the fucking games it innovated and all the classic games it brought up. And it doesn't even compare. It pales in comparison with this, whatever the Switch is doing. Or no, the Switch pales in comparison to what they were doing. Chris mentioned the best-selling game is a Wii U game. The right. Breath of the Wild is a top five selling game, and it's a Wii U game. It's ridiculous, man. They're not. We still haven't gotten another Mario game. Breath of the Wild, who knows what's going to happen. Metroid, man, I don't know what the fuck happened with that.
Oh, that's right, four, yeah. By the way, speaking about Metroid, that's the last thing that's listed here. There's a new easy mode for Metroid Dread and also a brutal mode where you know, it's like Dante Must Die mode. You get hit once, you're dead. Yeah. Okay, that's cool. I mean, Metroid Dread was hard, but I didn't think it was crazy hard, you know?
Jaffe thought it was hard.
Yeah, well, you know... I love how Jaffe in his streamer, he was trying to prove that the game has bad level design, prove that the game has excellent level design, you know? Mm-hmm. He's like, look at this. I can't go there. What is this? I'm like, yeah, the game's funneling you to a specific spot so you can learn how to play, bruh. You know? Because he was in the beginning. It was still, yeah, I was like, what is this? What is going on? Like, why can't I go where I want? Like, this is bad game design. Like, no, it's not. The game's trying to teach you something, you know?
Wake up, Jaffe.
Yeah, then he goes to one room. He's like, how come I can't leave this room? He's like, because you're not doing the thing you're supposed to do that the game's clearly telling you. Because he's in the beginning, so he's, you know, tutorial shit, and he's just not listening, you know?
I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah. Jaffe, character, you know? Nope. All right, any thoughts on this Nintendo Direct?
I mean, wasn't there more shit on there?
I just listed whatever Polygon had, man. You know?
I mean, they did announce a remake of Klonoa. I mean, a remaster.
Wait, didn't they have? Where's the Chrono game? Isn't that
Chrono Cross. Yeah,
Chrono Cross was on there too.
Wow, so, like I said, listen, this is just what Polygon had. I don't know what else they had, and there was some other game that they brought back from like a long time ago.
Was
Live Klonoa and Let Die or something? I don't know.
Oh, Live Life Alive. That never came out in the U.S. So yeah. they brought that over. Shit, I'm trying to think what else. There was some other stuff.
Right, Polygon, you failed. Let me look.
Yeah, Polygon failed because there was a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, not that was super important, but there was other stuff. Yeah, the Chrono Cross thing. Was Chrono Cross on PS1 or?
Yeah, I think it was PS1, yeah.
All right, here we go. I'm going to Shaq News. I like Shaq News. Right. Mario Strikers, we got that. Splatoon 3. Kirby. MLB The Show, okay. MLB The Show 22.
Oh, yeah.
Slides onto the Nintendo Switch, okay. Interesting. Nintendo Switch port, we talked about that. Switch Online adds Mother and Earthbound, okay. Metroid Dread, a 48 remastered courses coming up, whatever, I don't give a fuck. And Xenoblade Chronicles 3, but it looks like they don't list everything either.
Yeah, how did they not list the Chrono Cross thing?
No. Hold on, there's a deadless trailer. Front Mission First? What the fuck is that?
Oh, it's a remake of the original Front Mission.
Okay, so the Front Mission First. Chrono Cross, there it is. So this is a remaster of the PS1 game, right? Is that what it is? So. Manny, that's what you showed me earlier?
Yeah.
Yeah. Klonoa, what is that?
That is
an old platformer. Yeah. PS2.
Well, I let me rephrase the question. What is this specific Klonoa game? Like, is it a remaster?
I think it's 1 and 2. I think it's just one and two combined. Okay.
Yeah, it's just a remaster.
So it's like a collection, remastered collection.
Yeah.
The first and second game.
Okay. Okay, got it. Because I was like, what is this? A new game? Old game? What is this?
Oh, it's an old game, just remastered.
Yeah. Live Alive.
That's the Japanese game that didn't come out here.
It's an RPG that never came here.
Okay. Triangle Strategy. Looks like Octopath or something. What is it?
Yeah, this is a sprite.
That's what I thought.
Like a sprite. Yeah, I thought it was like, oh shit, Octopath sequel. But nah, it's something else.
Yeah. Okay, that's it. I think that's the whole show then. We'll go to Shaq News next time. Polygon missing shit, you know. All right. I don't really, again, send a Nintendo Direct.
Only two things that I really cared about or really impressed me was Advanced Wars and Kirby. I think everything else. You know, I know a lot of people are fans of Xenoblade Chronicles, so you know, good for them. Splatoon 3. I'm not a fan of either of those games, so
yeah. All right, we have the next. Yes, I do. All right, so this one's kind of funny because we all know the drama that happened with Platinum Games and Scalebound and Xbox and all that, right? Apparently, Platinum Games is now appealing to Xbox to bring Scalebound back. Ain't that something, you know? And I'm guessing it's because, you know, they see what's going on with all these acquisitions and all that. Game Pass doing so well. They're like, hey, we want to come back, you know? Yeah, let me see. What is this? Speaking to IGN Japan, Platinum President. I like that. Platinum President Atsushi Inaba explained that Scalebound creator Hideki Kamiya has been talking about wanting to work on Scalebound again for a while. Kamiya added, I'd like to appeal to Phil Spencer directly. Let's do it, Phil. Exclamation points.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what brought this change of heart.
Did he unblock him?
Yeah, did he unblock him?
I mean, there was some interesting stuff because, you know, it was actually Platinum Games' anniversary pretty recently. And there was a bunch of, like flowers that they had inside of their lobby from a bunch of different companies congratulating them. And one of them said Microsoft Phil Spencer. So, I mean, obviously, I'm like, I guess this means there's no hard feelings. But, I mean, yeah, maybe they're like, you know, let's try to get this thing done. I mean, it would be cool.
Well, it would be cool for Platinum Games finessing cash out of Microsoft and leveraging it for another title. But
well, I mean, you know, I mean, to be honest, it's like Nier is the game that saved them after Scalebound failed, you know, fell apart. So who knows? I mean, maybe they need the money.
Oh yeah,
yeah, right.
How many Platinum Games are in development? I don't know.
I have no idea.
And I mean, I'm pretty sure that they're seeing how much money Microsoft is tossing around at games. You know, they're probably like, "Hey, you want us to make a game for you? You want to subsidize it? All right." You know, they know that's where the money's at.
Oh, things just got very interesting, and I'm using that phrase specifically right
now. Oh,
yeah. First time in the chat, Sir Rich-a-Lot. We know who that is.
Whoa, whoa, whoa,
Mr. Richard Beatty Jr.
You must have heard him. Must have heard us talking about him.
Yeah, exactly.
He must have been ringing.
So yeah, I mean, it would be cool to get Scalebound back in some form. You know, maybe make it an Xbox Game Pass exclusive or something. You know. Well,
and did you guys see there's a contingency of Xbox people. There's like, well, if you think about it, it never looked at Scalebound. Never looked.
Yeah, here we go.
As if they weren't fucking putting all their fucking chips on that fucking game a couple years ago.
Yeah, it's fanboys are the same, man. No matter what platform they're on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
Nintendo.
Yeah, again, Nintendo fans are different. You know,
they're a different breed
of fanboy. But yeah, we'll see. Obviously, this is not anything official, but I mean, Hideki Kamiya himself wants to do it. So, excuse me, we shall see. You know,
that was big gasping.
Yeah, that was a reverse hiccup. Phil Spencer doesn't care about the Japanese market anymore. They have too many Western game developers. That's what Mighty Nerd says. Richard says, "Tell Platinum Games to get working on the next Nier instead."
it's funny because they didn't work on the last Nier.
No, they didn't. Well, that's why he wants them. Yeah, that's why he wants them to work on the next one. You know, that's what people really want.
That Nier Automata, is that what?
The latest one.
The chick that she turns into a plane and she does that whole thing. Is that it with the sword?
Yeah, that's the Nier Automata.
Yeah, she doesn't turn into a plane, but she does have a robot.
Yeah,
I was playing that last night. It's on Game Pass. I was like, what the hell is this shit? It's weird. It's like you're going from a side-scrolling to a schmo, and it's like, then you get to...
It changes.
Look at you trying some games you never played before.
There you go. It's true. I was trying to get my points because my money's in
it. Oh, Brett showed up.
Hey, what a mess.
The majority of the show. Yeah.
Microsoft bought Disney now. And yeah, so talking about the...
Okay, I hear they're planning to buy the Sun.
Who are they going to buy it from, though?
Space aliens.
Space, yeah.
Well, whatever Marvel character.
Shoot a bunch of money into space, direct deposit, you know?
Yes, just shoot a bunch of cash into space and then say you own the Sun.
Simple. Yeah. All right, next up, what do we have here? I want to talk about Steam.
I like Steam Deck.
Yeah, so apparently the Steam Deck, this one seems like a pretty obvious story, though. It's like Steam Deck can drain battery in 90 minutes if you don't cap the frames per second. Yeah, no shit. Yeah. You know, what do you expect? So, like, we talk about this, like, if you're going to be playing Steam Deck, you're going to have to adjust settings in a game because, you know, that shit's going to drain that battery fast. And in general, isn't a battery life, like, last 3 hours, which is kind of standard for handhelds, so, you know.
I mean, you can say the same thing about a laptop, but, like, yeah. The thing about Steam is that they let you do stupid shit. Like, they give you all the control, including the control you probably shouldn't need or don't have.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, it's the opposite of what Apple often does. So, like, they're like, yeah, if you want to have a game that's, you know, basically a standing menu running 200 frames a second, sure. Yeah, we'll let you do that. But, I mean, you can also augment it.
But don't blame us if your Steam Deck catches on fire.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, pretty much that. Yeah, they're like, man, safety's off. You do what you want, but don't blame us if you fuck this thing up.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm sure if you're running, like, a hardcore game, yeah, it's going to last a 3 hours, actually, that ain't bad.
No, you're right about that, because that's one of the things that kind of stuck out to me when I started reviewing gaming laptops. Like, damn, these things don't last more than an hour and a half. You know, like, you need to keep them plugged in when you're playing, you know?
Yep.
But, yeah, so...
You can check your email, but you can't game on the go. Like, yeah, there's no gaming on the subway, generally.
Yeah, no. I don't think... Again, you don't want to play this motherfucker on the subway. You will get robbed, you know? Especially nowadays, man. Shit is getting crazy, you know? But Steam Deck, again, we're all still waiting for hours. Can I wait? I already did. Was it Linus Tech Tips, right? He was one of the first people that actually, or the first guy that actually got, like, a real hands-on, you know,
he
thing.
He was showing Forza, and he was also showing if you could try to fit it in your pocket, which you cannot.
Yeah, obviously. Not even with them big-ass...
You need a special pocket like Tobey Maguire had for his Atari Lynx.
But he had the case, and he showed the case. The case had this crazy strap, so you can carry it like a lunch pail.
Yeah, that's cool. So, yeah, Steam Deck. Cool. Yeah. So, again, I threw that in there just from, like, yeah, we kind of guessed that. All right. In the
breaking
last
news, Steam Deck seems cool.
Exactly. Listen, any excuse I have to talk about Steam Deck, I'm going to use it. So I'm hype. All right. Big Barry Byrne, I'm going to run my two Steam Decks in Crossfire and see if the battery lasts 5 minutes. Oh, man. All right.
Yo, how'd you get two Steam Decks?
Yeah, right. How'd you get them, man?
Barry's got ways.
Yeah, he's got connections.
He still has that umbrella connection.
Oh, yeah?
what was the whole catch? You just had to buy something within time or something?
No,
like that?
six months. Your account had to be older than 6 months because they didn't want fucking people jumping in, you know?
So if it's not his account, then like his buddies or somebody else is like, hey, I'm going to sign in and order this through your account, whatever.
Yeah. Give me a sec here to load up the next store here.
I think you could still order it. It's not sold.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. It's not like, you know, whatever. All right, anyway, last story here. And take all this with a grain of salt because it's all rumored. About Resident Evil 4. Or the remake, which hasn't officially been announced yet, by the way. You know, it's like, it was like just revealed in a roundabout way, if I remember correctly. But, you know, it's not official yet. All right, so I'm reading this off a fan bite. So just bear with me, because this is the first time I'm reading this shit. Despite not actually being confirmed yet, a remake of Resident Evil 4, consider, whatever. Where's the actual shit? Yeah, I'm like, come on. Okay, he's just telling us about the fucking game. I don't care about that. Okay, the title was originally being developed by M2, a studio of former Capcom and mostly ex-Platinum Games developers that were also working on a new Resident Evil 3 remake. Working on Resident Evil 3 remake. Capcom had apparently hoped by greenlighting the project that they could entice Shinji Mikami, the original director of the game, who is now at Tango Frameworks, GameWorks, to work on the title alongside old friend Tatsuya Minami? Whatever. Didn't we read that before? Like, apparently the game was in development and then it got scrapped because they were, like, deviating too much or some shit like that?
Which is kind of interesting. That, but...
All right. It says, from that foundation, Capcom is no longer looking for a strict scene-by-scene remake of Resident Evil 4. While the original title began with a rookie cop-turned-secret agent, and still, whatever. What is all this bullshit?
He's going through the whole rigmarole, giving you histories.
Yeah, in Resident Evil 4 remake, the famous village introduction set piece takes place at night as does a decent portion of the rest of the game. Okay, because remember the first, you know, when you began the game, it was broad daylight, you know, but it was like overcast or something. It still felt very creepy, though.
Yeah.
In the woods. You're in the woods. It's all, yeah.
Okay, it says, the reason for this time change isn't arbitrary. Capcom wants to adjust the tone of the remake into something spookier, taking direct inspiration from discarded Resident Evil 4 demos. That footage, which was used in early GameCube preview reels, I remember those, featured Leon wandering a lonely castle, getting possessed by black smoke, and fighting off living dolls as well as other ghostly manifestations. Some of this stuff made its way into the original game in other ways. Most of it, however, was left in the cutting room floor. Okay, so they're trying to make it spookier. Yeah. Okay.
Well, the 3.5 stuff, you can find it on YouTube.
I remember that. Yeah. Yes.
Very much they took some of it and made Haunted Castle, and yeah, he was supposed to have hallucinations. It was more like Clock Tower. He's getting chased around. This guy could jump out of paintings and like attack him. But that one was still fixed camera, that version, before they switched to the over the shoulder.
That seems really super natural. Like, the one thing I don't get about Resident Evil, and I've never gotten, even though I've
Well, that's why they scrapped it, because it was too supernatural for the franchise, you know? Well,
I don't understand the tone, like, of the franchise to begin with. Like, it seemed like it started out really like hardline science horror, and then it just kind of went like, I don't know, mutants.
Well, I mean, they took that and made Devil May Cry. That's where Devil May Cry came from.
That's cool.
Yeah, this version of Resident Evil 4, the one with all the ghosts and shit, they're like, yeah, this is too different for Resident Evil. Let's just make it into something else.
Yeah, well, like, they explain it with science. They're like, there's no supernatural stuff in Resident Evil, generally speaking.
Yeah, so again, that's why they discarded those ideas and never made it into any iteration of the franchise. Yeah, because even when you thought it was doing some supernatural shit, it was just some science craziness.
Well, yeah, like, I still don't understand, like, weren't they going to go werewolves, or did they go werewolves
they did.
At some point?
That's in Village.
Yes, yeah, in Village.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, what's like, zombies, and now where, like, is there a thread? I don't understand.
Yeah, basically, some fucking, like, prehistoric plague or some shit that's been around forever. That's what Umbrella used to create the various viruses. So that's
that plague was from the things that the little bug, like, the things that infected the people in Resident Evil.
Yeah. Pretty much. Like, those are the Plagas, ancient things. Yeah, Los Plagas. Yeah.
So Los Plagas was a variant or the source of the T virus, right?
Yes. At least in that game. Or did they retcon it?
Yeah, in 5 they said the progenitor virus came from Africa, that you find the flowers that they originally found.
So that's the part that I was unclear about. I was like, the things in 4 are they're either infected by the progenitor virus or they are the progenitor virus.
4 is 100% parasites. It's Las Plagas that got dug up by the
villagers. But is Las Plagas the source of the virus, or is Las Plagas something that got infected with the T virus?
No, it has nothing to do with T virus.
Interesting.
I don't understand.
Yeah, it had nothing virus. To do with it. It's another virus. Thing, yeah. So
interesting.
It's very convoluted because, like, Nemesis and Tyrant are a mixture. I think Nemesis and some of the Tyrants are a mixture of parasites and T virus to get them under control. So I think the parasite part came from Las Plagas, but it's something that was ancient that they dug up in a mine, and then it infected the villagers, and it started to spread around, and there was this cult that wanted to control them and all this stuff, but it didn't have anything to do with Umbrella, pretty much. Like,
okay,
the whole cult and everything, the whole plot of Resident Evil 4 was just Leon is Secret Service. He goes to this, to not Spain, to save
Spain.
the president's daughter, because she was kidnapped by this cult.
And then just happened to be parasite zombie things.
Yes.
And is it the same thing with the werewolves then? Like, there just happened to be werewolves, and like fuck, these guys just have really bad luck.
Oh, Resident Evil 8? No, that was... So there was another experiment with this mold stuff now. So Resident Evil 7 introduced, like, the molded and this kind of, like, super mold that can infect people, but also can be controlled by some of them. And in Resident Evil 8, you find out that the village that Ethan goes to rescue his daughter is the inspiration that Spencer used to create Umbrella. Basically, as a young man, he ended up in that village. He met this woman, Mother Miranda, and then she taught him all this stuff about virology because she was a scientist, and she apparently has been alive a long time because her daughter died of Spanish flu in 1918. So she's been alive a long time. She teaches him about viruses and stuff. He gets inspired, and he also sees a symbol that just happens to look like an umbrella in the village. They have this umbrella-like symbol, but it's supposed to be some crest, right? He sees that, and he goes, I'm going to found a company with this logo. So they retconned all of Umbrella to have been created by this lady that inspired Spencer to do everything.
Of course.
Yeah. All right. I'm glad you guys had that conversation because I would just read the rest of this so we don't have to go through it. But basically, they said they want to expand some of the side characters' stories, Ada Wong specifically. They want to give her a bigger presence in there. And apparently, we may, you know, according to this, we may hear about the game, like an official announcement, early this year. So we shall see. Shall see.
That's been rumored a long time. And you're right. I do remember them saying, like something happened, I don't know if it's from Mitsu or something, and they pulled it away from the studio that was working on it. Like Capcom pulled it back, and I don't know.
Yeah, but like, you know, I've said this a million times when this rumor first started, Resident Evil 4 does not need to be remade. The game is, I don't say this about many games, the game is perfect as is. All you need is just clean up the graphics. The gameplay is perfect. You don't need to fuck it up. So I fear this will fuck it up. And I also even heard some rumors, Chris, very disturbing, that they're going to update it for modern audiences. You know what that generally means.
We don't
need to go over it here, but you know what that means. No. You know? Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if Ashley becomes the hero of the game now, if you know what I'm saying. You know? But, you know, it is what it is. Well, I'll play it, obviously, right? Because Resident Evil 2 and 3 were great, but they needed to be remade. Even though 3 could have been better, they left some shit out. But 2 was awesome, you know. But this one is like, how do you perfection? You know,
maybe they're just adding cell phones.
Maybe they're doing that.
Maybe just enhancing the movement. That's all I can think of. Just the controls a little bit.
Yeah, but even though the things like people complain that you can't move and shoot, but it's like the game was made like that, you know. Yeah, so they're gonna have to redo all the enemy behavior if you move, you know. Because otherwise, you'll just be killing them super fast, you know?
Unless they make it, like, it's two options. Like, you could have, like, the old controls or, you know, modern controls.
I highly doubt they're going to go with the old controls.
Didn't they do that in the HD one? Because I could have swore there was tank controls, and then it was like...
That was the first one.
The first one.
But remember, this game is being in the style of the 2 and 3 remake, so they're not going to do that. You know,
what you do is because the old games are so small now. You just embed them in the game somewhere as a bonus.
Okay. Yeah.
Based on a true story, so I guess you can't change it.
You know? So, yeah, that's all I have to say about that. Where's the evil?
Hey.
Yeah, what's up?
Question for you. Do you mind if I take a left turn here?
Now, we're pretty much done, so go ahead.
Okay. What's the reception for Dying Light right now? I'm curious.
It's not good. It's
I haven't
not
heard
good.
Anything.
It's not good. You know? I've had some issues, and I wanted, because you've been playing it a lot, and Chris.
Oh, I can't play. I'm locked out. I got the death loop.
There you go. You see? All right. Well, shit. That's another one. That's one of the other issues.
Worst fucking luck, man. Jeez.
Him. It's just him with this one.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of people. That are like, here's the deal. Explain. And the reason I ask.
Yeah.
This game is a fucking mess.
Wow. The hype. The hype, what happened, Brett?
Yeah, no, it is just riddled with shit that you're just like, what is this doing? Like, I won't say just shy, not Cyberpunk bad, but like, kind of just shy. They're like, literally everybody has run into at least a few bugs at this point.
All right, did you get the buzz? The buzz noise?
No, audio? I didn't get the buzz.
Okay.
Right, I didn't get the buzz, but I've had things like not show up. You know, like it took forever for your, like, certain quests to, like, key off, and like my compass has disappeared. You know, minor inconveniences until you get stuck in a loop that kills you every 4 seconds, preventing you from continuing the game.
Oh, man.
What about at the safe house and not being able to sleep?
I haven't gotten that one.
You'll see the stash button and press X and you use dash. And then when you go to sleeping bag, there's no option. So then you just have to sit there and wait for time to elapse. And that's what I've been doing. I've tried 3 different safe houses and the same thing. I can't sleep. There's no option to sleep in the bed.
Your character has insomnia. That's
there we go.
That's a feature, not a bug. So, but yeah, no, this, it's a fucking mess. But here's the thing that really I find interesting. I'm not mad about it because the game is just so much goddamn fun. I'm like, I just really want to play it, man. Like, I'm upset that I can't play it. Just patch this shit so I can fucking play it, man.
I hope they reduce some of the grind, because it seems like they're very stingy about getting you XP.
The Dying Light people got rid of
them.
TechLad was like, well, you talking
Adam
shit?
Adam was so mad at the game.
Yeah. Anyway, continue.
Yeah. Yeah, so I've had some of the issues Adam had. Not the audio one. He was complaining because we were on the chat, and he was like, I'm just hearing buzzing. I can't hear the conversations or anything. He's had that a couple of times. Now, I had one of the safe houses I went back to. I couldn't sleep either, so I'm worried that I have the same problem he has, because I wasn't able to sleep since the radio tower in the beginning. I had to tell, like, oh shit, now I got this problem? And I swear in the old game it was easier to salvage stuff. I swear there was things everywhere. There was, like, ambulances and houses and chests you could lockpick all over the place and constantly salvage stuff, and like, I would just build weapons all the time. Now I'm, like, running around, like, yo, where's the stuff? Where is it? I need my pipe's all broken, and I'm gonna just use my fist eventually. Like, I need stuff.
That's crazy. So yeah, no, I've
got kicked out of the room.
Damn, it don't like it. Really don't like him. You know?
Oh,
it was, really? I just said, how did they kick him?
Because he's still on the thing.
Yeah.
Who?
Adam. He's part of the show.
Who?
Adam Brett.
Oh, who is?
Who?
Yo, man, I mean, Brett was talking about, you know, people having issues, you know, going to sleep. I think someone got put to sleep.
You know?
Oh, shit.
So I have a question for you guys. Like, do you think the amount of fun a video game has, like, let me put it this way. I have heard suspiciously little about how awful and buggy the game is compared to, you know, like, Cyberpunk. And I think that's just because people are enjoying it. Do you think that has anything to do?
Well, yeah, some things will get forgiveness if they're well done, right? Cyberpunk had just too many flaws over everything else. Like, it was, and then they completely overpromised, right? When you finally get in the game, it's like janky and not at all what they showed for some people. So that's like a bad example. It had way too many negatives for anybody to forgive it for what it was doing. You know, I mean, even they made a fucking custom Xbox One that the game didn't even run on, you know? It's like, that's how bad it was, you know? So, yeah, you're not going to get that. I've been playing Dying Light, and besides a couple of issues, like, I've been enjoying it, right? So, as long as, like, and Techland said they're going to address this stuff, so I would hope so. I would like them to address, like, the grind. There should be co-op progression. I don't agree in, like, I could jump in your game and get you to somewhere, but I get no progression. I just go right back to where I started.
That's ridiculous. I just
that sounds familiar.
I mean, I'm torn on that one, because, like, I don't want to jump into somebody's game, have them choose all the choices I wouldn't choose, skip all the dialogue, and then I'm like, well, can't do that quest again.
No, but let's say you're playing with your buddies, and you're like, all right, we're going to go through the story together and get the same experience. And then later on, you decide you want to play, and all that other shit is gone. It's like, oh, no, you got to redo it all. It's like, but I had fun. We did this. Why are you doing it?
I just like the option to turn it on and off. Yeah. So, like, well, I can turn it off if I just want to fuck around and ran those games.
Sure, okay. Yeah, at least there's an option.
I'd see a lot of people having issues with that, and also something about the file being corrupt. That's what corrupts the save file, that it gets confused. So if you were in someone's game and you're playing, and then later on you play solo, somewhere, depending on certain points, it corrupts because the file can't really pinpoint where you were before, because it wasn't your original file. You weren't the host, and then it just craps out. It won't load up.
Oh, shit.
That was happening on the PS5 version.
Yep. Something, you know, and put they got to put more, they got to put the chest back. Sorry, Tom.
I just have nothing to add here. But so, go ahead. By the way, what the fuck is Crossfire X?
Another game I'm playing. That's it's out there. It's a first person shooter. The story was done by the Remedy team, Alan Wake, and all. Not the multiplayer stuff, but the story mode. The audio is pretty good. I played some of the multiplayer. I jumped in real quick. Pretty bland. They try to make you buy a lot of shit, but I want to get into.
Oh, I heard about the game. The game was like actually old, right? And it was just like brought back or something with a new story.
Yeah, they're doing.
Yeah,
this
So. Oh, Toon Medic, is that my homie Michael Santiago in there?
That's the other thing. It's also on Game Pass.
Yeah, I don't know. Dio, what's going on, brother?
Okay, here's a question for the chat and for everyone here. Last Kids on Earth, have you seen this anime or cartoon or whatever?
We're not talking, Netflix. We're not talking about that right now, man.
No, the reason why is because they have a game that's out.
Oh, okay.
The game I saw it on Game Pass. Yeah,
yeah, and I'm like, it was like, oh, based off of this cartoon. I'm like, what? Well, I never heard of this shit. And
it's on Netflix. It's a book. It's some post-apocalyptic. Yeah, yeah, it's a series of books, and they made like a 3D animated series. Netflix got it.
I guess it's doing well. It has a game that's out, so game looks
good. They'll make games out of anything.
They make games out of any bullshit.
Oh, yeah, but usually they go straight to mobile. I don't know. I've never heard of it, so I don't know.
Never heard of it. All right, man. I think we're done here. Let us plug some things if we have anything. Man, you have anything?
Nope. Just waiting for the go ahead. A lot of that stuff. Just a lot of things in the process of being made. Definitely let you go soon. Oh, but actually, wait. Hold on. Let me get myself back on camera here.
His camera.
So, by the way, Excellence, the final, well, not the final, but the most recent graphic novel is actually going to be dropping soon. I actually got it in the mail today. So I'm not exactly sure when it's going to be coming out, but it's going to be coming out soon, and that will have the up to issue 12. Yeah, good stuff.
All right, Adam, you got anything?
I want to plug Manny's image that he created today. That is going to go viral. Spread it. That's an amazing image. Look at that. Look at that. Come on now. That's big. There we go. So that's, and we still have two more weeks before the return of I Am Negan and The Walking Dead is coming back. The Walking Dead mothership. This is the final season, people. It's the final countdown.
We've been in the final season. This is the second part of the final season. There's the third part. Yeah,
and then there's a third part. Yes, there is multiple parts to this.
Yeah, I was about to say this is the second final season.
But we also multiple endings. If and maybe talk about that during the podcast one. We for the new Walking Dead spinoff, we saw the cast, and they had Terry Crews in it. So we're like, whoa, what's going on here?
I guess he's not canceled anymore, huh?
Yeah, there you go. So yep.
Yeah. By the way, Adam.
Yo.
Real quick, Better Call Saul comes back in, was it April? So I need to catch up.
Yes. Oh, yes. I can't wait. I'm glad this is happening, especially with what happened with the heart attack.
Yeah, man.
I was nervous, but it's like they were able to pull it off and finish it.
You can hear Carlos talking about Better Call Saul on his spaces, you know?
Okay. Nice.
Good stuff, man. All right, we're out of here, people. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Hit us up on Discord where Mob Hits is always dropping the craziest rumors available, you know? Throwdown is on literally every podcast app on the planet. Throwdown Show, two words. Throwdownshow.com to listen to past episodes. And if you are on YouTube and you enjoyed the content, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified of when YouTube premieres go live, man. Links to everything. Once again, I was your host, Tony. And tonight, I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Adam Vale.
Have a good week, everybody.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
And Brian Majoma.
How do you make 6 films based on dinosaurs and yet the CGI looks even worse than the last one?
It's too real.
No, it's not. There's actually reasons why it looks worse than it did before. Because before, we're not gonna get into that, but there's actually puppets, real reasons why it looks bad now. Why CG in general just looks terrible now. But anyway, we'll see you guys on Sunday. Peace out.
See you
later.